Hi, this is Tia Sirkar. I play Sabine Wren on Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Twin Suns Transmission.
Of course, it ends where it began. A desert planet with twin suns.
Hey, my name is Taylor Gray, and I play Ezra Bridger in Star Wars Rebels. I hope you enjoy this week's episode of Twin Suns Transmission.
Here's where the fun begins.
Let's make this a bit more interesting.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
The garbage will do!
Nothing will stand in our way.
May the Force be with us.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Twin Suns Transmission. I'm your host, Eric Pfeiffer, joined once again by Jesse Cardella.
Hey,
well,
guys.
Actually, now we have a new name.
Yes.
For the first time.
Jesse Sanfilippo.
All right. Well, congratulations. How was the wedding and honeymoon and everything?
It was great. I think my solo dice stuffed in my bouquet gave us good luck. We had good weather. Just everything turned out exactly how we hoped it would. It was so much fun.
Well, welcome back, and we're happy to have you back with us. And so we've got a lot to discuss, and this is going to be one of our first shows where we sort of have a little debate on a topic that we both have been very much looking forward to discussing. And so we'll get to that in a second, but we do a segment at the beginning of the show called How's Your Star Wars?
How's your Star Wars?
Ojabba.
Tell that to Country Club.
Ojabba.
Who talks first? You talk first. I talk first.
So, Jesse, how's your Star Wars been lately?
My Star Wars has been good. I recently just purchased the Her Universe, Ashley Eckstein's new book called It's Your Universe. I feel like I'm always talking about books in this How's Your Star Wars, but that's okay. I've only read one chapter, but I just already feel so, like, invigorated by just the very first introduction. Like, if there's something in your life that you just really want to accomplish, or there's a dream that you've had that you've put on hold, and you pick up that book and you read that first introduction, I started bawling my eyes out. And I was like, girl, you're right. I got this. Like, I'm going to start working towards this. And I, like, immediately just, like, got myself, took the first steps to something I've been really wanting to do, and it just really, really motivated me, and Ahsoka was right in the forefront of it. And if you love Disney and you love Star Wars and you need to be motivated for basically anything, just pick it up and start reading, because it gave me a big boost that I really needed, I think.
Yeah.
It's super sweet. I can't wait to keep reading.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people now, you know, especially as we get closer to winter, and in a lot of parts of the country, things are cold and it's dark and everything, you know, it's a good time to start reading a book, and, you know, especially one that's very motivating.
Right.
So, very cool. Well, I also have some big news. I ended up leaving my old job and getting a new job at a place called the Collector's Outpost. So obviously my Star Wars has been very well, because I've been able to be involved with collecting, and basically the point of the store is to provide an outlet in our area. As of right now, we don't have an online store yet, but the point is to provide an area where fans can go to pick up unique collectibles or things that they may not be able to find at, you know, your local toy store or like Walmart or Target. I mean, we'll have like sideshow collectible pieces and things like that from all sorts of different fandoms. So it's not just Star Wars, but we've got Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Marvel and DC, Star Wars, Star Trek, that type of thing. And I've been very fortunate to be put into a management position. So, you know, I get to do all the cool stuff like display the sideshow pieces when they come in, and, you know, do things like that, and sort of have a hand in, you know, saying, oh, hey, this would be a cool product to get. Maybe we should get this one in our store. You know, this would be a popular thing for people to get. So we got a lot of Black Series Star Wars stuff in the very front of our store, which is awesome. It's like the first thing that you see when you walk in. So if you are a collector of Black Series, it's a great place to go because we have one of the best varieties that I've ever seen in one place. So, you know, a lot of times you go to like Target or Walmart or whatever, and there's like the same six figures that you've seen over and over and over again. Yeah, exactly. So this is a great opportunity for me. I'm going to be doing a lot of the events that they have going on there as well, and sort of creating and organizing special events around certain themes or, you know, like movie releases, which will be pretty cool. So it's definitely something that I'm excited about and I'm more into. So pretty cool.
I'm so excited for you. This is like such a good fit.
Yeah.
It seems like you're going to be really happy there.
Yeah. And people walk in, they'll be like, hey, you know, do you have the special figure from this episode of whatever? And I'm like, yep, I know exactly where that is. I can talk to you about the show. I can talk to you, you know, about Rebels or Clone Wars or whatever. I'm obviously not as versed in, you know, like Star Trek or Lord of the Rings as I am with Star Wars. But, you know, I'll learn a little bit more about the collectibles related to those fandoms. And I'd say I'm definitely the resident Star Wars expert there right now. So
of course,
it's pretty fun.
I couldn't have found anyone better for that.
Yeah, so very excited about that. But let's move on and let's go to the Star Wars news. And it's been a little while since we've talked about the news. There's not a ton of stuff going on, but we definitely wanted to make sure that you guys remember that Solo, A Star Wars Story is going to be released on DVD and Blu-ray this upcoming Tuesday, which is September 25th. And if you don't really care about that and you'd rather just download it, you can, the digital download, that's what it's called, you can already do that. So that's already available. So Solo, A Star Wars Story is coming home.
So exciting things, getting us geared up for Star Wars Resistance. We got a couple cute little featurettes to introduce us to two teams. We've got Team Fireball and Team Aces. And so there's just these little featurettes done by StarWars.com that introduce you to all the characters, and I'm getting excited for this new show.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, were wondering, like, well, where's the Resistance stuff? And now it's like, here we go. We're getting hyped up. We're getting ready.
We're getting there.
Yeah, so this is very exciting. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of differences with the style of animation and things like that that we've discussed. But I think, you know, for me, in my opinion, I'm just very excited to have more story, have more Star Wars content.
For sure.
So
I'm excited about some of these new characters. They all look really cute and funny. I am terrible. What's the species of Plo Koon?
Keldor.
That one. I'm excited about him. He's on Team Aces. I forget his name, but they say he's a mysterious daredevil.
Ooh.
I need to know more.
Yeah, lots of exciting stuff, and that will be on the Disney Channel on October 7th. The virtual half marathon was also announced, which is pretty exciting. Now, I've also mentioned some of this stuff before on some of our previous shows about the Star Wars half marathons, and they're really cool. And I would have loved to have been a part of the rival races, which are going to be taking place in Florida the week before Celebration in April. And that was the biggest problem for me. It was the week before Celebration in Florida. So I'm not going to be able to make that one out there. But for those of you who can't do that or don't want to travel or whatever, you could take part in the virtual half marathon. And this is a Star Wars themed race where you can sort of do your running on your own. You have to run 13.1 miles. You can split it up. Registration is open. Obviously, you don't have to do all your running at one time, which is nice. You pay for the shipping of the medal. You get a race bib sent to you or like a registration thing. And you kind of, you know, use that as motivation and go, and then they'll ship you your medal, which is pretty cool. So, cool Star Wars stuff coming.
For sure. I never have the will to do those.
Honestly, with this one, you could just walk it. It doesn't really matter. So, it's just something to get you active, I guess. All right, well, let's go into our main topic, and we had a little bit of, it was actually your idea, I think, to have a discussion on Ahsoka and Anakin, and I can't remember what episode of our shows it was, but we were talking about something, and you had come up with an idea that you think that if Ahsoka would have stayed in the Order and not left in Season 5 of Clone Wars, that that would have saved Anakin from turning to the dark side.
Yes. That's a grand idea.
And so I was sitting there and I'm like, I don't know if I really agree with that, but let's have a bigger discussion on that. We were in, it was one of our other shows that we were just on a roll with something else, but that was, you know, brought up. So let's discuss that. So if Ahsoka would not have left the Jedi Order, Anakin would have been saved from going to the dark side. Tell me a little bit about why you think that.
I think Ahsoka with Anakin, I feel like she's someone that kept him grounded and gave him purpose outside of Padme. Like, it was another responsibility for him. I feel like in the back of Anakin's head, everything he does for Padme.
Mm-hmm.
But Ahsoka is something different. He has a responsibility to her, and her failure, what this really stems from is I think he sees her leaving the Order as a failure in himself. And I think it is something that allowed him to kind of dip further into the dark side earlier on, if that makes sense. Like, it put him in a dark place. And I think Ahsoka, had she had been around, would have been able to maybe talk him down from things. It's just this, I don't know, I just feel like she was such a huge part of his life, of his self-worth within the Jedi Order, and that got ripped away from him.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just one less thing for him to just throw to the side and become a Sith.
So let's say she stays. You don't think Palpatine would have had his grip over Anakin, or, like, been able to manipulate Anakin into believing that Padme was going to die in childbirth, and sort of, like, that whole prophecy? You think that prophecy would have happened a different way, or you think, like, what are you thinking there?
I think it's not that Palpatine, like, wouldn't have been able to manipulate him so much as I think Ahsoka could have grounded him a little bit more in that, caused him to react a little bit slowly. Maybe he would have waited right where he was supposed to wait, like Mace Windu told him to,
mm-hmm.
And not just gone and tried to take matters into his own hands. If he had someone like Ahsoka there to wait with him and stand by him and be like, you know, just a presence in his life reminding him that he has other responsibilities other than to Padme. I know it's, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, feel free to throw questions my way too. Like, if you are wondering why I disagree with you or whatever, I'm just going to start saying things. But I'm a huge believer in that. You know, we talked about on our last show with Bree and Amanda about the will of the Force and, like, how the Force has sort of this quote-unquote mind of its own. You know, like, it works in mysterious ways. And we hear a lot from Qui-Gon about how the Force has a will of its own. And it works through the midichlorians to continually speak to that person, telling them the will of the Force and sort of telling them what to do. And I think, you know, because the Force has the will of its own, and there are people like Palpatine that are able to sort of, you know, manipulate and influence people to sort of see certain things, you know, because we hear about, like, the dark side, how strong it is and how powerful it is and how how it's sort of clouded the vision of the Jedi and sort of, you know, had that effect on the Order. I feel like for Anakin in particular, it was one of those things where it would have happened anyway. Nothing could have stopped it. It was the will of the Force that this is how the prophecy was going to unfold. And whether Ahsoka was there, whether she wasn't there, it wouldn't have mattered. The only way that this whole thing could have played out was the way that it did. And the only person at that time that could have brought Anakin back from the dark side was Luke at the end of the day. I think Palpatine has these ideas where this is somebody that we want to continue to put into situations where he's gonna want that power. Like he sees Padme dying in childbirth, and he's gonna be willing to do anything to save him. We see in Clone Wars that he would almost do anything to bring justice to the person who killed Obi-Wan in that one arc in season 4. You know, he thinks Obi-Wan's gone for a while, and that really messes him up. And, you know, I think you're right about Anakin sort of taking it. He blames himself for what happened with Ahsoka. But if you remember, like, Ahsoka was going to be knighted. That was her trial, essentially. That's what they said at the end of that arc where Ahsoka leaves. And if Ahsoka was knighted, Anakin would have become a master, because he would have trained a Padawan to knighthood, and that would have granted Anakin the ability to be a master. So, and at that point, maybe even become a member of the council. You know, obviously Anakin was pretty young and stuff still, so maybe not. But it just seems like the Force works in certain ways, and I think that the will of the Force had everything played out the way that it, it did.
Maybe. I feel like a lot of my ideas from this come from the Mortis trilogy. Mm-hmm. Big surprise.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the things that the father says that kind of put a different spin on the whole, the will of the Force, and that things were going to happen the way they were going to happen no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
In the Mortis arc, the father says something along the lines of, after the brother, you know, shows Anakin his future, mm-hmm. Anakin freaks out and thinks the only way to stop it is to join him and go to the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
The father confronts him and is like, you've seen one possible future. Like, there's many ways that this could go down. You've seen one way of it. It doesn't have to be this way, is basically what he comes to Anakin and says.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, to me, it's just because that is how it ended up playing out doesn't mean it's the way it had to. I mean, I can't come up with another way that it would have gone down, but I don't think that that's necessarily how the Force works. I mean, we see a lot of, you know, when, you know, Yoda or anyone is trying to look into the future, it's always changing, it's always moving. There's no clear path, that just no clear outline that tells you the way things are going to happen. And there's a bunch of stuff that kind of like makes you think in that Mortis arc when it comes to the brother and the way he's manipulating Anakin and Ahsoka. He does a lot of stuff to Ahsoka to, in my eyes, to affect Anakin. This one's kind of wishy-washy, because it's hard to tell if in that arc, the brother comes to Anakin in the form of his mother and basically messes with him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Obi-Wan and Ahsoka both have visions, but it's unclear whether it's the brother messing with them or if it's really Qui-Gon there to talk to them. If it's really a vision from Ahsoka's future, we don't know. But if you look at it from the angle that it could be the brother giving Ahsoka a vision from her future, if you look at it from that point of view, then he's telling her, if you stay with him, you won't see your future. And then he you know, turns her to the dark side to try to get Anakin to bend to his will, to also turn to the dark side, to have to fight his own Padawan to take her from him. And to me, he wants him to fulfill that destiny. He wants him to become Vader because he wants him to turn mm-hmm. to the dark side. And it seems like he uses Ahsoka as like this thing. Well, it's like, well, if I take her away from you, then you will. So that was like a big clue to me that makes me kind of feel like, eliminate Ahsoka, you get Vader. You know? That is kind of where I get a lot of these ideas from, where it just seems like she is just such a huge part of his life that grounds him, and then when you take her away, it really opens him up and makes him vulnerable so much more to all this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think when I said the will of the Force before, I didn't necessarily mean that, like, everything has to happen the way that it has to happen. Like, I mean, by the will of the Force having its own sort of mind of its own, I, you know, with that, I guess I was meaning like Anakin had to turn to the dark side. Anakin has to, you know, do this. It wasn't necessarily like, and today Anakin's going to walk over here and Anakin's going to, you know, say hi to this person. But it was more just kind of like that. But relating to the Mortis, I find it interesting that once Ahsoka was returned to him, once Ahsoka actually, you know, the life of the daughter goes back into Ahsoka and she's fine, it's not till after that Anakin goes to the dark side. It's the son shows him his future after Ahsoka is returned to him, you know, and then he's on the dark side. So even when Ahsoka's back and she's fine, now granted, this is a little bit different because the son basically, like, shows him the future, but there's still that moment where when Anakin comes into contact with Obi-Wan, you know, Anakin says, I've learned that the Jedi are the reason why, you know, this war will continue or whatever. It says something like that. So, I don't know. I just find it interesting that even after Ahsoka was returned to him, he still has that mentality through the son, knowing that he was going to become Vader and that was going to be the way that he went. But I think, you know, with Anakin's emotions, with him being a young kid when he was taken, a lot of this is, you know, there's a lot to discuss. There's a lot of relationships in Anakin's life that sort of assist in driving him to where he goes. Obviously, with Ahsoka, like we're talking about right now, with his mother, with Obi-Wan, you know, he's got a lot of people that really care about him. I've thought about this too, like with Qui-Gon. Like, if Qui-Gon was there instead of Obi-Wan, what would Anakin's outcome be? You know, it'd be different, I think. I think Obi-Wan took it upon himself and didn't want to, like, disappoint Qui-Gon, essentially, or, like, disappoint the Order. He felt like he had something to prove to the Council and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. I feel like that's just the way that Obi-Wan is. He wants to do things right and fulfill his promises and, you know, whatever. It's a lot of responsibility to train the Chosen One. You know?
Right.
So, there's all these relationships that Anakin has with all these people. I don't think any of them, whether it be Padme, Obi-Wan, Ahsoka, could have prevented that dark side change for him. I think the dark side and the, you know, the abilities of Palpatine were just too strong for him.
Yeah. I mean, I also just think that, I mean, Ahsoka obviously changes so much after being this whole thing with being kicked out of the Order, reinstated in the Order, not going back to the Order. She changes too much to be able to ever have saved him after that point. But part of me thinks, because Luke is able to save Vader because he never gives up hope in Anakin. So he's able to bring him back. Luke is this huge beacon of hope. And I don't always find it so much as, like, because he's, you know, his son that he's able to do it. Like, that's why Luke is able to hold on to hope is because he feels that father-son connection, but I don't necessarily think it had to be the father-son connection for Vader. I think it was that someone still saw Anakin in him and didn't give up hope.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ahsoka would have been that person for him if she stayed the person she was. I think Ahsoka loses some of her hope when she is kicked out of the Order. And again, when she sees Anakin as Vader. I don't think she doesn't have that same hope.
Why do you think she would have if she stayed?
I just think she would have been a completely different person. She wouldn't be the Ahsoka we know. I think she would be someone who would fight for him the way he fought for her when she was getting kicked out of the Order, and he never gave up hope in her. He fought to the bitter end to get her absolved. Like, I think that's something Ahsoka would have done for Anakin while he's falling. And if she was able to catch him in these moments and him see her not giving up hope, I feel like Obi-Wan, Padme even though she goes and runs to him, she just, like, cries and is like, you're breaking my heart. Like, Anakin, you're breaking my heart. And he just, like, slowly loses hope in all of them. He sees Padme and he immediately thinks that Obi-Wan has gotten to her. And Obi-Wan, he just writes off right away that he never believed in him and he's been holding him back. But Ahsoka's never been that person for him. She's never held him back. She's never... If she were to have stayed, she would have never held him back. She would have never done anything to make him not have faith in her.
That's a very pivotal moment for Anakin in episode 3, though. Like, when Padme comes running down the ramp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that point, Anakin was gone. He was done.
Yeah.
There was nothing that could have been done to prevent that. Padme running down, saying, you know, come away with me, you know, help me raise our child, we can get away from all this while we still can, and stuff like that. She tried to do whatever she could to bring him. You know, she told him she loved him, and she told him that Obi-Wan told me what happened, and he knows, and he wants to help us, you know. And Anakin's just like, well, no, I don't want to hear any more about Obi-Wan. I'm done. You know, this is ridiculous. So I think, had Ahsoka been there at that point, it wouldn't have mattered either. Anakin would have been like, nope, I'm doing things my way. I have to save my wife. I have to do this. You know, so yeah, we are talking about, like, if she would have stayed, would she have been able to prevent that whole thing of him turning, you know? And...
yeah, but Anakin was gone for Luke, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't think the reason why Obi-Wan lost hope is because Anakin was trying to kill him. Like, Anakin literally was trying to, as a newly appointed Sith Lord, literally, like kill you. Like, Padme was being choked just by standing there, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, Obi-Wan could have walked down there and cut Anakin's head off on the lava. Like, he could have done that. And now, you know, I guess that just by leaving him there and watching him being engulfed by those flames, that you can sort of just assume that that will kill him. But, I mean, he's the chosen one. He can survive a lot of things. So, I think the whole thing in Return of the Jedi with Luke is, you know, yeah, Luke didn't give up hope, but... we talked about this with Freddie Prinze, like, a while ago. The reason why Luke is great is because he makes that choice not to fight. It's not even just against this. It's not even against Vader. It's against Palpatine. You know, he throws his lightsaber away and just stands there and gets obliterated by Palpatine. With Yoda, you know, Luke went to Yoda and said, then I am a Jedi, and then Yoda says, nope, one thing remains, Vader, you gotta confront Vader. Then, only then a Jedi will you be. So in Luke's mind, the only way to become a Jedi was to then confront his father. So he goes back and sort of refuses to do so. For Luke, it was a big deal because he never had his father. He always thought that his father was dead. So, you know, yeah, he doesn't give up hope in Vader, but I think, you know, in Vader's mind, it's like, he finally realizes through Luke that he is good. There is good in him, you know, and it could be because of the whole hope thing. I just think, you know, Vader realizing everything that Palpatine did at that point, watching his flesh and blood just get destroyed in front of his eyes, I think that was a really big eye-opener for him, you know? So, I don't know. I think with Ahsoka, her impact on Anakin is very great. I just don't know if it's strong enough to... Padme couldn't do anything. Obi-Wan couldn't do anything. They both tried to bring him back, but nothing happened.
I think one could argue, though, that Anakin's relationship with both Obi-Wan and Padme were not always the healthiest of relationships. Like, as great and as awesome as I love Anakin and Padme together, it wasn't always that healthy. A lot of it seemed like it was infatuation, obsessive at times, possessive at times. They couldn't have a normal relationship. They couldn't be out in the open. Everything was a secret. So their dynamic was very unhealthy at times. And Anakin and Obi-Wan always had this headbutting relationship as well, where they don't always agree. They almost never agree. Anakin always feels like he's being held back by him. There's just this animosity that's already there, seated in their relationship for a long time. And I don't know if he would have had that with Ahsoka. Like, it's really hard to argue my side, because it's almost like I'm just creating this character that doesn't exist, because we have no idea how Ahsoka would really have acted. But I guess I just feel that his relationship with her was so much more pure, and so I don't know, I just feel like he had a whole different dynamic with Ahsoka. He felt protective over Ahsoka. He felt responsible for Ahsoka. So had Ahsoka made the same gesture as Luke did, to not fight and just be like, just lay herself down to save him, in hopes to save him, I feel like it could have worked.
I'm wondering how much Ahsoka actually, deep down in her heart, trusts Anakin. Because we were watching the arc where she leaves at the end of season 5. Mm-hmm. And she runs. Like Anakin tries to go into the prison after they've caught her or whatever. And the clones are like, no, you can't go in. And after there's this, like, escape plan from Barriss to get her out of there and sort of frame her for everything with all the clones that are, like, laying there dead and everything, or, like, really badly injured or whatever. And then Ahsoka runs. Anakin follows her. And Anakin has a moment before the clones realize where Ahsoka is, where he has time to talk to her. And he's like, you know, I believe you, and... you know, why don't you come with me and we can sort all this out together. The clones aren't even there. It's not a show for the clones. This is a sincere sort of thing that Anakin is doing for her. And she says, well, why didn't you come get me? And Anakin was like, well, how would that have looked? You know, just breaking in there with my lightsaber blazing, and just, you know, that wouldn't have looked good. And, you know, he says that he wants to help her and whatever. And she's like, I know you trust me, but I have to do this on my own, type thing. Like, what would the drawback have been to have gone with Anakin? Like, she would have saved herself so much heartbreak with Ventress, because that became a big deal later on. You know, Ventress being sort of affiliated with her, you know, a known thorn in the side of the Jedi. Like, none of that would have happened if she would have just gone with Anakin. Like, why not trust him? Why not trust Anakin as your master? Like, I think that's interesting, because, you know, I think to Anakin that is one thing that I think, because Ahsoka left, made him feel like it was his fault. Like, what did I do to not have her trust me? She says she trusts him, but then she does whatever, and And, you know, she's like, I trust you, but you have to trust me now and let me go type thing. It's like, why? Right. Why don't you just...
Because I just don't feel like she trusted the council. And he, as much as Anakin likes to think he has control sometimes, mm-hmm. he just didn't. And, I mean, and Ahsoka was right to not trust the council. They did not trust her. So it's like she knew that Anakin would be there for her, but she knew he couldn't really help her as much as he wanted to help her. So she knew she had to do more, is how I've always kind of seen that. I don't think it's so much that she doesn't trust Anakin to want to help her and give it his all. I think it's she didn't trust everyone else involved, which she was right not to trust them. They betrayed her. They all did.
Yeah. That part, and we were kind of watching this scene later or earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, when they take away her status as a Padawan and sort of kick her out of the order, Yoda says that, you know, we're not all in agreement on this, or maybe it's Mace Windu, that we're not all in agreement on this, but this is our judgment of you. You know, and I don't understand how you can have some members of the Order, like Obi-Wan, who clearly voiced his opinion earlier, and like Plo Koon, you know, they know Ahsoka.
Right.
And how can you sit up there and do that to her? While Anakin is down there fighting for everything that he can to help her. And then we have these other clowns on the council just pulling crap out of their butts and, you know, doing things just because they're told to.
Right, because I think also the council kind of, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't they kind of have to be in a, like, it's not to a vote in the council. They all have to come to an agreement, whether it's a compromise for some people or not. Like, don't those couple of people who don't agree have to be like, okay, you win, in order for a decision to get made?
Yeah.
Because isn't it kind of have to be an unanimous agreement, even though maybe some don't fundamentally agree, if that makes sense?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure of the logistics on that. I don't know.
Maybe that's just all in my head, but...
Yeah. Well, I think it definitely would have been different if Ahsoka would have stayed. But as far as preventing him from turning, I don't know if that could have happened. I just don't know if that could have happened. I mean, I'm assuming that you think, even if Ahsoka would have stayed, that nightmares about Padme would have happened and, mm-hmm. you know, all that stuff still would have been going on.
Right. Yeah.
And the crazy thing is, like, if Ahsoka would become a knight, and now granted, Obi-Wan still works with Anakin quite closely, even after Anakin's been knighted, but, you know, sometimes masters will get new apprentices or whatever, and, you know, maybe if Anakin was granted the status of a master, maybe he would have gotten a new Padawan, or maybe Obi-Wan, I don't know, you know, or maybe Ahsoka would have taken on a Padawan. So I think, you know, there's obviously not a huge time gap there between Season 5 of Clone Wars and Episode 3, but, and we'll probably get to see some of that in Season 7, of, like, maybe what their relationship is like now and stuff like that, but... Yeah, it's definitely an interesting thing to think about. And we're going to be doing a lot more of these types of shows where we sort of maybe not disagree on the topic, but it'll be sort of an open-ended question, like, you know, I know we threw around, like, is Bo-Katan worthy to lead Mandalore? Mm-hmm. Like, that was one of the things that we had talked about before, too. So maybe we'll do a show on that, or, you know, stuff to that effect. So we're going to be doing a lot more of those shows, and our plan is to get another show done before September's over. So is there anything else you would want to add on the Ahsoka?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
It'll make you happy. the only thing I want to add is as I was researching for this, I started to not really agree with myself.
Oh, dear.
No, it's... And I still feel like it is a possibility, but like I said, we are, like, creating this character that doesn't mm-hmm. exist. Like, she has to go the exact way that I would be speculating her to grow up in order to, for this even to have a chance of panning out of her saving him. But it was just like the more I like delved into and really thought about this particular question while I was watching things and rethinking about things, I think you are right. Like, Vader had to be where Vader had to be. He had to be ready to be saved. He just wasn't ready to mm-hmm. be saved. It could have, anybody could have come at him during that time in episode 3. And I honestly don't think it would have mattered for him at that time. Especially because he gets that confrontation with Ahsoka again later on. Granted, Ahsoka's a completely different person that did let him down at that time in Rebels. And, you know, she has these visions of him saying stuff to her like, where were you when I needed you? Why did you leave me? But Ahsoka's in a place of, that's, neither of them are in a place for that, really. But Ahsoka does say to him, like, I won't leave you, not this time. It doesn't matter. Like, she basically promises that she's not going to leave him. She's not going to let go. She's realized that he is Anakin, and mm-hmm. Vader does not care. He's just not ready to be saved.
Yeah.
And I think that's the case. Also in episode 3.
Well, in their confrontation in Rebels, Vader doesn't even refer to her as Ahsoka, right? It's like the Padawan mm-hmm. or the apprentice or something like that. Like,
been foretold, yes.
Yeah. He doesn't even refer to her with her name. Like, no. I don't think he cares, really. I don't think he cares. I mean, we see him sort of like look at her like deeply, you know, kind of mm-hmm. just like, I don't know what was going through his brain then, but, you know, I don't know. There's just, once he was gone, he was gone. So, definitely something that, like, you kind of, you know, when you said, oh, I think, you know, Ahsoka could have saved him from going to the dark side, when you first told me that, I'm like, what? But then, like, as we talk about it, and you sit here and think about it, and like, okay, well, yeah, this happened in this episode, and yeah, I could see where you're coming from. I think it was, you know, a reasonable opinion. Yeah. Like, I didn't create Star Wars, I don't know. I'm just going with kind of like, you know, how I see it. But what's great is that we have fans in the fandom that have their own theories and have, you know, their own what if moments, and I think that's one of them. I think, you know, another one is, what would have happened if Qui-Gon survived? What would have happened if
Jar Jar Binks was a Sith Lord?
Yes, Jar Jar Binks was a Sith Lord. You know, there's a lot of what ifs, and what if here we go, what if Obi-Wan would have told Luke the truth about Vader from the start? Mm. How would that have changed things? How would that have changed Luke's opinion of what he was getting himself into? So I think that's what's great about this fandom, and you know, I want to continue to have conversations like this and kind of get into these subjects. So before we go, Jesse, where can people find us on social media?
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all under the handle at Twin Suns Outpost.
Okay, and you can also listen to our show through our website, which is www.twinsonsoutpost.com. You can find us on iTunes, and you can also find us on the Star Wars podcast app through the Google Play Store. And we'd love to hear from you on our social media pages. Like, what do you think about the situation with Anakin and Ahsoka? If Ahsoka would have stayed in the Jedi Order at the end of Season 5, how would that have affected Anakin, and could that have prevented him from becoming Darth Vader? So make sure to let us know on that. And maybe we could do a poll, too, and just to kind of see what people think. That would be fun.
Throw up some posts.
So we'll do that. So thank you so much for listening to episode 122 of Twin Suns Transmission. We'll be back before October, and may the Force be with you.
Hi, this is Vanessa Marshall, Harrison Dula from Star Wars Rebels. You've been listening to Twin Suns Transmission, an exciting show where sand gets everywhere. Thank you for listening to this presentation of the Twin Suns Podcast Network. May the Force be with you, always.
Air Master, Tatooine.
It's controlled by the Hutt.
I'll meet you at the rendezvous point on Tatooine.
This son's doing murder to me, I think.